Hello everybody, this is Ken Fallon here at OGCamp 12, and we're walking around the exhibition hall. The first people we come to is the Liverpool Linux User Group. How are you doing? Who are you and why are you here?
I'm Bob Ham. We're actually Liverpool Linux User Group and Manchester Free Software here today. Yeah.
Very good. And what have you come to do? What do you hope to achieve here?
We're just kind of here to represent, I guess, the local kind of community. At Liverpool Linux User Group, we kind of we just have meetings and talk about Linux and whatnot. Same with Manchester Free Software. With Manchester Free Software, though, we kind of campaign a bit more for free software, for the principles of free software. And we're just kind of here to spread the word and make people aware of what we're doing and what we're up to.
Are you hoping to get some people to join your organisations?
I mean, we don't have any kind of, or certainly Liverpool Lug, we don't really have any kind of strict organisation as such. It's just more kind of casual, come along and be part of it if you want, you know, and there's no designated members or anything like that. And obviously, the purpose is kind of just to, do things that people in the group and are interested in, and to share that with other people who might be interested. And I guess that's the thing, to kind of to hold events that we're interested in and that other people can come along to if they're interested to it as well.
What type of events are there, and are many people come along?
We have quite a few members, quite a few people come along, but we have kind of monthly meetings where we hold talks usually, and we've had quite a variety of different speakers from the local area and further afield. We have a social meeting every month as well in the pub.
Very nice.
Yes. And kind of we I guess this really the OGCamp is, I think, probably our first kind of venture into something more than that, but I hope it won't be the last.
Okay, great. I hope you have a good show, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm here at the Bytemark stand, and I'm talking to
Tim Dobson.
Hi, Tim. I saw you here last year.
Yes, that's right. I've been to OGCamp a number of years in a row now, and it's a great event. We're here to talk about hosting and all of that kind of thing, but that's, you know, just part of the whole event. It's a great event that we're very happy to be supporting because there's such a great community here. In fact, it's one of my favourite events of the year that we go to, because the community is just fantastic. Kind of when people go out and have lunch or chat, it's a very community feeling rather than, you know, some of the conferences where you're not quite sure whether you'll be welcome in a conversation. At OGCamp, it's always kind of, yeah, just come along, we'll have a chat. That's one of the great things about the event, and that's why we keep coming back and sponsoring.
I was just going to say that you are one of the major sponsors here, and you know, when you think of a company sponsoring an event, you imagine people with suits and ties coming down, but I don't think you would fit into that category.
No, I mean, yes, we're not really a suit and ties company, to be honest. And everybody kind of in the office wears shorts and sandals, and so it's a very kind of community and open source focused company, and that's why OGCamp's such a kind of great match for us, and why we're glad to be here.
Seriously, if you are considering hosting, I know we have our own sponsors here in Hacker Public Radio, but for example, you might want to consider moseying on over to bytemark.co.uk.
Yeah, well, actually, that's an interesting kind of point, because one of the areas that I'm here working on is we do a lot of open source outreach, and so a lot of open source projects come to us looking for sponsorship for their project. And if you're kind of an up and coming open source project, we already sponsor things like XBMC, OpenStreetMap, Coppermine PHP Gallery, and there's nothing, just drop me an email, tim@bytemark.co.uk, and the worst I can say is, I'm sorry, we can't do anything this time.
But you also should seriously look into their hosting. It's quite reasonable, and you get a good deal. Okay, I've said it. Are you happy now?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Are you planning to attend any of the talks or any of that, or do you know not yet?
Many of the talks, hopefully some good ones. I'm not sure what's happening yet, but yes, I'm definitely planning to attend some talks.
Okay, cool. Talk to you later. Hi, this is Ken, and we're coming to talk at the Open Rights Group booth here at OGCAM 12. Hi, how are you doing? Who are you and what are you representing?
I'm Ryan Jandubi, and as you alluded to, I'm representing the Open Rights Group.
Okay, who and what are the Open Rights Group?
The Open Rights Group are a campaigning organisation that campaign on digital rights issues in the UK, and we join up with other organisations that campaign on similar things in Europe.
And what sort of campaigns would you be doing?
Our main areas are in censorship, open data and free data, and censorship, open data and privacy.
Okay. And do you have any particular campaigns that you're running at the moment?
One of the recent ones was this mobile censorship report that we did. It's actually very interesting if you start looking into that, the types of websites that are blocked by default on mobile networks. It varies by network, but it's
isn't that really a good thing for people that, you know, you're not going to accidentally stumble upon some adult content as you're on the train?
Well, I'm all for that. If you're the sort of parent that wants to protect your kids from that, or if there's something that you don't want to see yourself, then absolutely you should have the option. That's a service that mobile networks are providing, arguably. But the issue with it is that it shouldn't be on by default. Not only that, but the sort of the opacity of the why things are blocked, because when it's on by default, you don't know what you're not seeing, and that's a dangerous path to go down, we feel.
You were mentioning earlier that some of the some religious organizations were
People were finding that it wasn't just, as you were saying, like sort of smut that gets blocked, but sort of like church websites and things, and again, like, that shows how like non-transparent the thing is, because people just weren't really sure why these things were getting blocked, and it was quite a problem.
And this is just done by default, and nobody has really an option. It's done. Is there any legislation that requires them to do this?
Not that I know of in the UK. I think it's there are organizations that, you know, other campaigning organizations that would seek to censor what people are exposed to in the internet, because they see the internet as a negative thing altogether, perhaps.
Yeah. Okay, and what are you hoping to achieve here by having a booth?
Spread the word about the organization and the work we do, and hopefully sign up a few more members.
And what do you get if you become a member?
Today only. I've got some t-shirts from OrgCon, which was a few months ago. So you get a t-shirt from me, and you'll also get sent to you through the post a copy of the IT Crowd on DVD.
Okay, and how can people get involved if they're living abroad, for instance?
If you're living abroad, I personally would strongly recommend that you get involved with things going on local to where you are. Because, as I said, there's organizations all across Europe. Well, there's the FSF Europe, of course. There's also the name of the network isn't coming to my mind right now, but if you look on the work that was done against ACTA, that was a very much a pan-European effort, and there were groups along the same lines as the Open Rights Group in different countries that were campaigning against that. If you're further afield, probably your local LUG would be able to join you up with organizations that sort of go into this whole digital rights space. But if you were abroad and you wanted to support org in the UK, the mailing lists are very active. You can get involved that way. I think a big way that people could help out is reading. I mean, it sounds very bland, but reading government reports, reading green papers, like keeping up to date with the next movement on various of these topics, because there's a lot of material and a lot of what people spend their time working at the org office doing is just really getting to grips with legislation at the local level, at the national level, and at the European level. And you need to keep all these everything in vision, and just have enough of that knowledge to be able to feed back into the process.
Raise the flag if something comes up.
I mean, certainly. I mean, if you raise, I mean, members could raise the flag if something comes up. But I mean, certainly, if there's a particular topic that you want to inform yourself enough about in order to feed back into policy. I mean, start a discussion on the mailing lists. There's a supporter council also that you can get involved with who, I don't know if this wouldn't apply so much to people who are further afield, like you were saying before, but if you are based in the UK, there's a supporter council that you could get involved with, and our aim for that is to start more local regional groups, because as I was saying, I think it is good. I mean, Og Camp doesn't happen every week, unfortunately, and it's good to get people meeting face to face and discussing these things. And also, I think if you're meeting face to face locally, it gives you more of an opportunity to think about going out and engaging with local people who might be concerned or have concerns about privacy or about censorship, but wouldn't necessarily be technically inclined, because these are cross-cutting social issues. Really, they're not just sort of digital rights issues. They are sort of fundamental rights issues, and certainly getting involved with local groups, I think, is a good way to feed into that.
Do you think that the tide is beginning to turn? You know, after the relative success of the Stop ACTA thing, do you think people are beginning to now become aware of these privacy issues, become aware of the censorship issues, and that they need to be more involved and more protective of what's going on?
There is an awareness. I mean, the response to ACTA made a lot of headlines, and that was a good thing. It would have been good if those headlines included some more pointers to organizations that people could get involved with. But I mean, as far as the general public, I think people have always had a sense of privacy in their own personal information. And you know, the way people react to Google or Facebook, I mean, that's not something that people haven't had to be trained into. That's natural. On the other hand, censorship is something that I don't think people have a nose for. Like, they're not sort of attuned to calling it out when they see it. And partly because it is so sort of insidious that you don't see it by its very nature. So I think there does need to be more education in that sphere.
But you're protecting the kids.
Kids do need protecting, but I don't think there's any substitute for engaged parenting. I don't think you can sit people in front of screens and expect the screens to do and say the right thing. And yeah, I mean, that's all.
I always have the, as a parent myself, I have the feeling like, you know, you can put up as many barriers along the roads as you like, but you need to train your children, don't go on the road, don't go on the road, don't go on the road, and you need to be there. But anyway, I might do a topic on that on HPR. Great to talk to you again. Sorry for messing up the interview 3 times already. And I look forward to hearing a show from you in the future here in Hacker Public Radio. Hi, I'm down at the Exhibitors Hall, and I'm talking to
Dan Lynch.
Hiya, Dan. How's it going?
Good, good. Bit mad.
How did it go so far? We're on the very start of the show. What happened?
Well, what happened first was the registration was a bit mad because we didn't have enough people. We didn't have enough space for people, so it was a bit of a jam down there. It was kind of a bit of a bottleneck down there. But we're all sorted now.
But that wouldn't be our camp if things didn't go 100% according to plan.
Exactly, yeah. No, it's all great. All the crew are doing great. Les is really busy helping out. He keeps everything running.
It's a fantastic venue here, I must say.
It is. It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah. And we've got to thank John Moores University, Liverpool John Moores University, who own this building. Yeah. This is the Art and Design Academy, and they've given us kind of run of the building, which is amazing. So
it's fantastic. Listen, I'm going to let you go. Thanks very much for putting on the show, and I'll talk to you tonight.
No problem. Thanks very much.
And I'm talking to
Anya McGuire from ScraperWiki.
And Anya, can you tell me what ScraperWiki is?
ScraperWiki is a platform for liberating data, public data across the web. And we want to try and help coders do stuff with data across the web.
And when you say data across the web, what exactly are you talking about?
Talking about lots of data being published by governments all over the world. You can't do anything with it. You bring it into the ScraperWiki truck, you turn it, you structure it, and you get it into a nice format that everybody can reuse.
But surely governments of the world would like to publish their data in open formats that's easily accessible to the people who are paying them.
Absolutely, I think, and governments hopefully will get to that point, but they're not there or anywhere near there at the moment. So the first prerogative for them is really to publish at all. And I think many departments in the UK, many state departments in the United States, for example, where we've got a large user base, they're just basically saying publish and be damned, and that's what they're doing. But the difficulty is it's very difficult to reuse that data. So what ScrapeWiki is kind of a place where coders can help get that data and make it available in a reusable format.
And how would you go about doing that? Say some public service decides that they need to put they're required by law to put their information on the website, and they put it up in PDFs, for instance.
Right, so ScrapeWiki is, as it says, kind of says what's on the tin. It's we would have data scientists and coders who would go to that website. They would scrape that PDF. They'd set up a schedule so that every time that PDF's updated by that state department or by the local county council or by the local NGO or whoever is actually publishing that data, they would set up a schedule, and then that scraper would run and rerun and keep rerunning and refreshing the data store, the ScrapeWiki data store, and then they can download it as whatever format they like. They can download it in JSON, or they can download it as a CSV, or they can download it in Excel.
And actually do something with it.
And join the data sets together. I mean, we're doing a bit of work for the Cabinet Office in the UK at the moment, and they have lots of departments. And much as they do want to talk to each other, it's very difficult because they've got behemoth systems that have been around for quite a long time. So what we're doing is scraping different departments and actually joining those data sets together.
That is fantastic. I think I heard about your project on Floss Weekly, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think my colleague Francis Irving was on Floss Weekly some time ago. He's our CEO and a wonderful gentleman. So.
Okay. Listen, what we're going to do is put a link to that in the show notes for this episode, and hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you very much. Well, I think OggCamp looks, it's my first time here. It's very exciting. The programme looks brilliant. It's wonderful. We're a Liverpool-based organisation, so it's fantastic to have the opportunity to support Dan Lynch and all his team here.
Cool, thank you. Hi, this is Ken Fallon. I'm down at OggCamp 12, and I'm talking to
Tris Linnell.
Now, I spoke to you before, I believe.
Yes, you did, yeah.
And unfortunately, my MP3 player died a slow and horrible death. Actually, it was quite fast, but so listen, can we redo the interview if you wouldn't mind?
Yeah, that's no problem.
Okay, you've got a music software jukebox project. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, it's actually written by a couple of friends of mine, but there are some of us who have written clients for it. Essentially, it's a networked jukebox system where the user cues their own music rather than choosing the music from an existing list. So it's useful for parties and hackathons and things like that, for people to send their own music into a queue.
And it's based on the LPD, if I'm...
It's similar, yes. It's inspired by the LP hack, which is using a print daemon to print music.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's that done properly, essentially.
Okay, and what's the website?
You can find the website at hgd.theunixzoo.co.uk, I think.
Okie dokie. And what's your contact details so that people can get in touch with the project? Or what's the best way to get in touch with the project?
Probably just by going on there, and you can get to the code repository on GitHub, and all the information about package archives for different Linuxes and things like that for it.
And what's your role in the...
I've actually written one of the GUI clients for it, which runs on Mac, Linux and Windows, which allows you to submit music and view the album art of what's currently playing and look at what's playing and vote music off if you don't like it and all that sort of stuff. So
could you stream, say, in your house, could you stream to various different music to different locations?
Actually, it doesn't have streaming support at the moment. It uses MPlayer as a back end.
Very nice. Yes.
Yeah, so there's some work at the moment to get a VLC back end on it, and you should be able to provide streaming through that, but there isn't any native streaming support built into it.
So it's essentially a queuing system for MPlayer.
That's right, yeah.
That is actually quite nifty and handy.
Yeah.
Now, listen, you're here at OggCamp 12. Any plans to go and see some talks?
I haven't decided yet, and the talk schedules are a bit empty at the moment, so I'm going to see what comes up.
Okay, thank you very much for interviewing again the second time, and look forward to buying you a pint later on. Hi everybody, this is Ken here at OggCamp 12, and I'm down with Peter Cannon from the Dick Turpin Roadshow.
Yay! How are we doing? All right.
Not too bad. How's life?
Yeah, really good. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Have you any plans to go and see any of the talks?
Yeah, I'd like to. I'm not too sure about today. Obviously, myself and Matt, as part of TDTRS, are, funny enough, doing something later on.
Are you at liberty to say?
Well, I'm not quite sure what's going on there, because we were sort of sworn to secrecy, but then from what I can gather, the secret's out. There's going to be a bit of a quiz later on today between Linux Outlaws and UUPC, we have total control over, so you can imagine with the TDTRS format, there's going to be lots of fun.
Fantastic. Hope you enjoy the show, and I look forward to having a beer with you later on tonight.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Ken Fallon here at OGCAM 12, just here at the Hacker Public Radio booth, and somebody's walked up and wants to talk about the project.
Hi, my name is Michael McDade. I'm here just to talk a little bit about Viznos, which is an e-learning website, which basically at the moment provides online learning resources for teachers to use on their interactive whiteboards for things such as teaching the times tables, division, lots of different aspects of primary school maths. The site is actually going under a big change, and in September I hope to launch with a lot of new features, which will involve a lot more interactivity using the children of the class, the photos. It's going to be quite exciting, but that's all coming middle of September.
And is this a free software project?
At the moment, everything is completely free. There may be charging in the future.
And do you release it under an open source FLOSS license, or is it a proprietary application?
At the moment, it would be proprietary.
Okay, not to worry. And what do you hope to do with your website?
I just hope to inspire teachers around the world to use the software, and I hope to change the way people are talking about maths and how they learn.
And how would this compare to something like Blackboard, for instance?
Well, Blackboard is kind of specialized for putting content on for a syllabus, kind of, you know, it's basically goes into a lot more detail. Mine is much more, I suppose, more like an app in terms of does simple things in a simple way, teaches certain concepts in an easy to understand visual way.
Okay, there are many different ways to learn the tables, for example, or to teach maths. How do you do that if it doesn't fit in with the method that the particular school is following?
Well, there's many ways to skin a cat, you could say. This is just one particular method. In particular, mine works by showing visual representation of tables. So in this case, you can show fish moving in and out of a rectangular array. So it's quite easy for a children to see the 4 times 2 is just a lineup of 4 fish by 2 fish. Or to see the square numbers, for example, a 5 by 5 fish or 6 by 6 fish, they can see the square shape.
That is actually quite interesting, because my daughter's class, they forbid them looking at the tables, anything visual when they're learning maths at all.
That surprises me, because I think if a child doesn't see a visual representation of what the tables are, they'll never get the concept.
Okay, thank you very much. Listen, can you repeat once again your website and the contact details?
Yeah, it's www.viznos.com.
And how would you spell Viznos?
Visnos.com.
Thank you very much. Listen, are there any shows that or any talks that you want to do? Are you planning on doing a talk on this?
I haven't decided yet. If it will be, it'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, you should definitely do a talk about this. There's enough parents walking around here, and believe me, maths is becoming such an important thing that people would like to know about it. And you might have some people who will be able to test it out for you.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Thanks. Go sign up now. Bye. Press the recording device and you'll record them, and you'd say something like this. How are you doing? My name is Ken Fallon. I'm sending in a Hacker Public Radio show report from OGCAMP 11, 12. And who are you and what are you doing?
I'm Fab from Linux Outlaws. I'm just running around here right now, and I'm with a camera, actually. And now we're kind of interviewing each other, which is driving me insane.
It's very meta. So that would be it. That would be the segment. And then you just simply then stop your recording. Hello, this is Ken Fallon at OGCAMP 12. I'm down here at the exhibition hall, as you do, trying to connect to wireless. And then I realized, you know, my wireless isn't working. And if I was running a proprietary operating system, I would need to jump in an airplane, fly to cappuccino or cappuccino or where's Seattle, Washington, to find the person who's written the operating system to have them fix it. No, folks, that's not necessary here, not when you're running Crunchbang Linux, because when anyone has a wireless issue with Crunchbang Linux, the creator of Crunchbang Linux walks over to you and says, I'm going to fix that personally. And to that end, I'll introduce Cornominal.
Hello.
So how's it going? How's life?
Yeah, it's going well, mate.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying the show?
Yeah.
And tell me, you've thrown off this mortal coil, you've said F you to the man, and you've started your own company. Can you give me the website of your own company, please?
Well, yeah, it's if you just type Crunchbang into Google, you'll... Yeah, pretty much.
And how is it going for you?
Yeah, it's going well. So it's slow to begin with, but it's picking up, so yeah.
Okay, and what sort of services do you offer the general public?
I'm working full time at the moment on Crunchbang, so the way it's generating an income via donations and a bit of AdSense on the website, so that's pretty much it.
And that's enough to keep the roof over your head?
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky in the fact that Becky works as well, so we've got two incomes coming into the house, so it's quite popular, Crunchbang, which surprises me more than anybody else, I think. And users are pretty generous, and it's going all right.
And say I wanted to support the project, how could I go about doing that?
You can...
I know you don't like this, by the way, but...
I feel we're very uncomfortable, because...
Anyway, if you want to support the project, you can go to the Crunchbang website, and there's various different ways there you can support it by subscribing and throwing a few quid to this guy so he can continue working on an excellent, excellent operating system. This HP laptop that I'm... What?
Apart from it doesn't work at conferences, because the Wi-Fi... You can't connect via Wi-Fi, can you?
Well, that was my fault, because I didn't... set it up before I came here, and I was here. Yeah, well, yes, but here we see you're going to sit down, you're going to hopefully resolve the issue and improve it, so that's it could be difficult. Okay, thank you very much, Phil. Is right. Becky around?
She is, she's upstairs playing with a 3D printer.
Ah, excellent. I need to mosey up that far and get some interviews.
You do.
Okay, talk to you later, bye. And here we are down in Oldcam 12 again, and we're talking to Les. How are you doing, Les?
I'm fine, mate. I'm fine. It's been a hectic first thing, but I'm getting there. I'm happy.
Everybody seems very chilled out, very relaxed. Down to you, I guess?
Not down to me, down to the crew. The crew have been fantastic. They've turned up, done the job, with very little instruction from me, so fair play, brilliant.
It was very funny. I came down the stairs this morning in the hotel, and you got this army of geeks ready to rock, and I said to my friend Paul, that's the crew. Yeah, I know.
26 people this year with 420 tickets allocated for delegates. It's been really, really busy, but the crew pulled it off. A few hiccups to start with, but happens at every event, nothing runs perfect, but I really am happy that the crew just got with it and did the job really well.
Absolutely excellent. We even had the fire drill in here. We had a full rundown on what we needed to do. So, you excited about what's coming up?
I am, yeah. I've not seen any talks yet. I've been too busy, but I'm excited to see the open hardware jam on the top floor. I've recently got into Raspberry Pi, Arduino, that sort of thing, and Fignition as well, which is a new 8-bit computer. And I really am interested in getting a soldering iron and doing something. I've never soldered properly in my life. I built a badge 3 weeks ago that lights up, and I was ecstatic. I'm 33. I shouldn't be that happy about that, but I am.
No, I completely know where you're going. By the way, Mr. X has done a excellent introduction to soldering on HPR. If you go back, listen to the last few months, you'll be able to get it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So how are you doing otherwise? The U-Cubed event, were you involved in that? Or?
I am, yeah. U-Cubed, that went off in April this year. Really well attended, 65 people. But for the size of venue, it was fantastic. It's
tiny the venue, Mad Lab in Manchester. We only have one floor this year. I'm currently planning Bar Camp Blackpool, which is happening in 6 weeks' time. All the tickets for that have gone already. 150 tickets, and we've got a really lovely conference venue this time. And we're getting spoilt rotten by them. Free Wi-Fi, projectors, the food's fantastic. Access to saunas and gyms and all that for hotel guests, it's brilliant.
Very nice, and I must say this venue is fantastic here as well.
John Moore's, it's fantastic what they've given us. It's huge, this space. You couldn't fill it today. We've got 400 people here. You couldn't fill it.
No, you could not. And it's really relaxed. There's plenty of opportunity for people to come around. There's a whole goal of people now fixing my laptop. Cornama, if you've already heard this interview with Philip, he has fixed his wireless issues and is currently working on mine. So, it couldn't be better.
It's brilliant. It's crowdsourcing repairing your laptop. I like this. On the top floor, Neil Morin, he's got some old Apple Mac G5 equipment, and he's getting people to fix that for him.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. I love this. Listen, if it's okay, I'd like to meet you for later on at the end to do a wrap-up of the show, and we'll tag that on at the end.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay, thanks very much.
Cheers, mate.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ken Fallon. We're here at the exhibition area, and I'm talking to Dave.
How are you doing? Hi, I'm good, thanks. Having a great time.
You might know him, but he is the guy responsible for keeping me sane over the last few days while as I was working through this script for parsing the Linux Link site. So thank you very much for that help, Dave.
Oh, you're very welcome. I was having a boring day and suddenly I got this message saying help, help, help.
No, it's cool. You're also working on the back end for the for Hacker Public Radio as well. So if you're on the mailing list, you see the name coming up.
Yep.
So tell me, what's the show like? I haven't seen anything. Can you tell me what's going on?
Well, so far I've seen the opening address and the thing that followed on from that, which is a talk about licensing, which is very, very interesting subject. It went into areas of the whole business of copyright and the ownership of what you do in the open source arena. And, you know, that's really deep stuff. And, you know, I'm not sure that everybody, myself included, particularly probably, has really got the head around what that means, you know. The stuff that you produce, what happens to it, and, you know, what's your ownership of it, and why people now are so patent conscious and just want to keep tight hold of everything and sue the life out of you for even daring to make something vaguely similar to it. It's all completely insane. But it was a good talk, that particular one. Other than that, I've just been looking at the hardware. Hardware hacking area, which has been, it's just been amazing. It's really, really good. There's some quite mind-blowing bits of kit up there. It reminds me of the old days of, you know, BBC Micros and all of that sort of stuff. So yeah.
So what's up there actually?
Well, Raspberry Pi is the big thing up there, but also the 3D printing is. There's a guy building a 3D printer, and there's a MakerBot up there as well. That's the I think American origin 3D printer, which is a pretty cool device. I forgot to say, I went to see a talk about the Raspberry Pi and 3D printing, which was very, very well attended. Lots of enthusiasm. I imagine a few people would be rushing out to buy 3D printers after this. Yeah. 400 quid a shot, we're told. So, you know,
still not too bad, you know.
No, it's you know, it's the sort of price that you could afford if you've, you know,
saved.
Yeah, if you saved up some pennies, it's good. It's good. Yeah, so things like sewing, embroidering. I think you can get sewing lessons up there. I saw somebody being inducted into the strangenesses of sewing things. So I don't know whether you can get a lesson in hemming or something, but it's pretty good. It looks pretty good. Some various other single board devices up there as well. So yeah, that's some.
And is this your first show?
It is, yes. First time here. Not the first time in Liverpool, but first time in for an odd camp. Looking pretty good. Looking pretty good. I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Yep. Okay, great stuff. Catch you later. And I'm talking to?
Anna Morris from FSFE.
Free?
Software Foundation.
That's right. But I didn't want to talk to you about that, but now I'll talk to you about that. What's the Free Software Foundation Europe?
Well, the person you need to speak to is actually just behind me at the moment, called Sam Tuke, but the Free Software Foundation Europe is a Europe-wide free software organisation which does many things, from lobbying to kind of grassroots campaigns to local support groups called the Fellowship, which are really fun.
Yes, we had an interview here with him, on HPR last year when we were at OggCamp. But I wanted to talk to you about the project that you were talking about a moment ago. What was that?
Yes, I've started using an operating system called KX Studio, which has very interesting origins. It's very small and kind of not heard of, but it's the best that I've found for multimedia in a while. It started because the guy who runs it was making some Jack audio kind of applications, and I think he just wanted an OS to run them in for testing. It's got Ubuntu underneath and KDE on the top and a Jack kernel thing running all the time with a live thing, and it's very fast. And it's so beautiful to use. It's by far the best kind of multimedia OS I've found in the past year. And no one's ever heard of it, so go look it up. It's KX Studio, and it's run by the Linux Musicians people.
The Linux Musicians. Do they have a podcast? Are they the open source?
Maybe.
Okay. Anyway, that's diverting people from the topic. Anything else? Are you enjoying the show?
I am. I'm having a great time running the booth here and things, and I've met some really, really interesting people. So.
You snuck in the booth while I was doing something else. That's interesting. I must mosey over there. Okay. I will thank you very much for the interview, and I'll talk to you later.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.